Hey, this is Dawn.
And this is Lana.
And you're listening to Screw It, a podcast about wine. Wine improves with age.
We improve with wine.
And we are here at the Phoenix Theater again.
I don't know why they wanted us back.
I really don't know why they wanted us back.
Especially after the mess our guests made already.
Oh, I know.
Can you believe it?
I know. Guys.
So we are here with Kelly McCullough, the author of A Bunch of Crap. And his...
Good crap, you guys.
That's pretty much how I characterize myself. So good there.
Excellent.
And his incredibly intelligent and fabulous wife that we don't know why you guys are married. Laura would have better standards.
Yes.
And we are here with a live studio audience.
Oh my god, I love that sound.
So, we are going to drink stuff, right? Yeah. I think we should open up some stuff to drink and then actually talk to our guests and act like they're here.
If you insist. Yes.
No. Okay.
All right, so let's start. We've got a rosé.
Yes, we
do. Mionetto Grand Rosé.
And I'm not shaking Kelly's head.
All right, so this one is a foil with a cage, or I think it has a cage.
It looks like it might have a cage.
It's a very exciting package.
It's pink.
Oh, and pink. Sparkly.
We like pink All and right. sparkly and pretty.
So, mm-hmm. Oh, well, that was... So, did you hear the top come off? I didn't even feel it under my own hand.
Did it just come out that
it
easy?
Just went poof.
Really?
It looks like it should be like a champagne, and it just went.
Right. Okay, here we go. That was better than nothing.
Well, it was the foil, actually, but cool. Okay.
Mine hissed a little bit, but that's because Dawn shook it up for me.
I did.
Okay. Did you even hear that?
The sound of wine hitting a plastic glass.
Yeah. I think we'll just do that one more time. Whoop!
Oh,
that we've got some excitement going on in the audience with one of the rosés.
Apparently the audience wine is the exciting wine.
I got the winner.
So go ahead.
All right.
Let's pour that.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yours is very foamy.
It's foamy.
It
with
is.
Love.
All right. Like, okay, really I'm looking at this, and besides being bubbly, it's that beautiful color, like carnival glass. You know, that pinkish, peachy color.
What is carnival glass?
Carnival glass is glassware that they used to give away as prizes at the carnival. And so it's an antique now, and it's worth a lot of money.
Yep.
So,
but mostly 1910s to about 1940.
I've got bowls. I'll point them out next time you're at the house.
Sounds good.
It's one of my. It's a beautiful color.
Mm-hmm.
It's really
is.
Pretty.
This is good. So, and it's even got the iridescence of carnival glass.
Yeah. Well,
it does.
And iridescent stuff. This is Mionetto Grand Rosé. And did I pronounce it right at all? Probably
you
not.
You did.
Oh, God. Look at me. I've been around you too much. This is the Prestige collection from 1887, although I doubt this.
Considering it's a sparkling wine, I really hope it wasn't from 1887.
We all die of botulism.
All right, let's take a sniff. I don't know.
It's gorgeous. It's bubbly. It's beautiful.
It smells like wine.
Yeah.
Which is better than some things we
had. Shut up!
I'm really bummed we didn't get to try the canned stuff. That sounds...
You know, it's out in the lobby if you want it.
And some of our audience members did try the canned wine.
Some of us still have flashbacks.
I liked it.
So it smells... I mean, what does our audience think it smells like, for those of you who
kind of
smelling?
A fruity one.
Yeah. It smells like fruit wine. Yeah.
Okay.
A little bit of tart.
Okay, let's toast. What would you like to toast to, Dawn? Because you're the grand toaster, I think.
Oh, God, whatever.
Toast.
Is that like a
four-slice
toaster?
Yeah. Stainless steel, baby.
Ooh. Oh, honey. No fingerprints on it.
Well, I think we should toast to our nerd community.
Yeah.
That, like, brought
absolutely.
All of us together today. I mean,
yes.
For
excellent.
Our science, yeah. Our
science.
Yes. Cheers.
Kapla.
Yes, cheers. Have a try of it and tell me which...
Klingon Mach!
Yes.
Klingon. Hey, it's nerds.
So what do you guys think of this?
Meh. Yeah, it's a nice rosé.
It's bubbly.
It's bubbly.
Oh, no.
It's not bad.
It isn't bad. Okay, so here's the deal. When you get wine in very small bottles, mm-hmm. like you'd maybe get on a plane... You know, the bar gets set lower.
It really does.
It does.
Yeah.
But I kind of like this. I think it's kind of refreshing.
You will drink almost anything except for Minnesota wine.
That's true, because I have standards.
I have yet to see them.
Granny go-go.
Just, there's but we had magic cheese, and it made it all better.
Cheese, yeah.
Magic cheese.
No. Ooh. I kind of like this, though. I mean, I think it's delicious. I think it's light. It's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of summery. I know it's September, but it feels a little summery.
As a Scotch drinker, it's not bad.
Oh. It actually took me like 4 seconds to translate what you said. I was like, is he talking about Scotch?
No.
Yeah, he is.
He referenced Scotch at a wine tasting. Mm.
Not the first time that's happened.
There is some carryover. Well, we started this podcast because we both guested on a Scotch podcast.
Yes,
so we are the
parent podcast, which is extreme...
extreme tasting.
Yeah, because we're extreme wine tasting. They're extreme Scotch tasting.
Oh. And I will say that I had never had Scotch before in my life before. Well, Irish, yes. But not Scotch. And I'm an actor, of course. I've experienced the full array of Irish.
Okay. It's an important distinction.
It's like California wines versus anything else Lana drinks. Oh, that was so pretty.
You know, it's not a podcast till I flip her off.
It's true.
One more time. Yeah.
Anyways, I like getting flipped. Okay, well, okay.
I only flip off the people I love. Or my husband, my brother, you know.
Anyways, so we have really cool guests, Lana.
We do.
I know. I'm kind of nerding out over, like, how cool our guests are, so please don't
attack us. We're really, really, yeah. We're giddy and silly because of you guys.
Yeah, totally.
More than usual.
I know very little about Laura, except for what I stalked you on Facebook.
And the fact that she is super smart.
I know. And she's a redhead, so it's all good here.
It's all good.
So you're a doctorate in physics, correct?
Physics education, actually.
Okay, what's the difference between physics and physics education?
So I got my bachelor's degree in physics, master's degree in physics. I've wanted to be a physics professor since I was 15 years old.
Wow.
Wow.
How did you get that calling at 15 when I was I was more concerned, if my underwear was sticking out of my pants.
Yeah,
or what I was going to do for homecoming.
Am I going to get a solo with the choir?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It appears to be a genetic affliction in her family. So,
Tell us about your family.
My dad has a PhD in physics. My brother almost has a PhD in physics.
Oh, my God. ABD.
ABD.
Mm-hmm. I work in higher ed.
All but dissertation, baby. Yep. So, I always knew I wanted to teach. But then I got to physics grad school, and I looked around, and I'm like, 24 guys and me. This is going to be great.
Yeah. So, is that why you call yourself, a gender researcher?
Yep.
Because what on earth is that?
Over dinner, we're like,
you're a boy.
We don't know what that is.
You're a girl. I researched it.
Yep.
No, that doesn't always count, Lana. Lana's doing booby hand grabbing gestures.
Well,
hopefully they're more like this.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So, anyways, what's a gender researcher if you're not actually sexing things?
I study issues with women in physics, gender and science in general.
Oh,
so
cool.
why are there so few women in physics?
I work in IT in higher ed. Yep. And my IT classes, it's like 3 women and 18 guys.
Yep.
And I was the only female who would talk.
I'm not surprised at all. Yeah. It's worst in computer science and engineering. Physics
Which is
slightly better.
Fascinating, because that's flipped. Because when my mother went into computer science...
Really?
And just not long out of college, it was almost all women.
Yeah. Hmm. The first computers, the women, the humans who were doing the computing, that's the computers, they were all women.
Because it wasn't cool yet, and they didn't get paid a lot.
It was right. And as soon as it became a high status field, the men moved in.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It's like directing in Hollywood.
Oh.
It was all women at first.
Oh.
I didn't know that.
Didn't know that.
I've been watching a lot of Netflix.
Well, and it was interesting, because when you first started talking about, what it was, where it's, 20 guys and one female, it's like, that's what I feel like when I go to gaming conventions.
Yeah. There's a reason I'm comfortable in science fiction.
It is sort of that convergence vibe, although there's more women now.
There's way more women now. Okay, so how did those studies actually work? What does that look like?
Yeah, I do day-to-day. A lot of different things in my research. The thing I'm probably best known for in my tiny little field of physics education research is studying the effects of context on physics test questions. So
more. Give us an example.
There's a really commonly used physics conceptual test used across the country, actually across many countries. And 30 questions, no math, all conceptual. And there's a very strong gender gap favoring boys. High school, college.
Give us one question.
Because we'll totally be able to answer it.
Yeah. I've never taken physics because I'm not a real fan of math. I'm okay at it. Yeah. I just don't really enjoy it.
Yep. So I'm trying to think what would be a good question. Circular motion. So you have a marble.
Wait, I'm already lost. Okay.
I'm sorry.
So if I were to spin a marble around this paper plate and then suddenly cut a hole in it so the marble could escape, which way would the marble go when it left the plate? Would it curl around towards the plate? Would it go straight? Would it go off this way? That's a common question.
So what's the answer? Because I already know it, but I'm just seeing if you do.
Now you're making me nervous. Am I going to get the answer right? Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. I'm so scared.
It should
scared.
Go straight. Yes!
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It was going to go straight down.
I was going to say it's going to go down.
Yeah, because it stops it. There's no way to get centrifugal force. It's just a boom.
Yeah.
Well, but then, of course, it was me, a marble, and a plate. It'd probably end up in, like, Bulgaria somehow. I mean,
well, that's me doing demos in class. It never worked well.
Before it dropped, one of your cats would smack it off.
Well, yeah, because they're dicks.
Okay.
Yeah, or eat it.
Okay. So, this test, a lot of male contexts in it. So, hockey, rockets, military, dropping bombs. So,
that
might have.
I'm from Northern Minnesota, so hockey's cool.
You're okay with.
But we're science fiction. Yeah. I mean, I've seen more action adventure movies than my husband has because he doesn't like them, and that's my favorite thing in the world.
Interesting.
That is really.
But action adventure physics is very fuzzy. Well,
I'm talking about rockets and sort of militaristic
that's
stuff.
Roller coasters.
That's true. That's fantasy physics.
I was talking to someone who speaks Tagalog, which is kind of the general Filipino language, because there's like a gajillion languages once you get into the Philippines. And because
I'm smarter already.
I know. Oh my God. And she helps like doing translations, especially for the nursing people who are coming in. Huh? And she said the testing that they were trying to see, how is your English? Like, where do you park your car? And she's like, you don't understand. They don't have cars. You can't ask them where they park their car and then see how well they know English.
How do you get to blah, blah, blah?
Right.
Interesting.
It's like we walk everywhere. I don't have a driver's license. How can I answer this question?
Or maybe I take the bus.
The context there, we had a Laureate colleague in Thailand.
Yeah.
And one of the questions involves a picture of two male students, one male student putting their feet up on the knees, the other.
And they push off of each other.
Shove apart on these two wheeled chairs. Mm-hmm. And in Thailand, the feet are considered unclean.
So the students couldn't answer the question.
They were the situation was so culturally wrong for them that they really weren't able to answer the question.
You would never touch someone with your feet. So that problem wasn't.
Yeah. I mean, even from a female standpoint, I mean, how many women are going to. It's like, wait a second, let me think about what that would even be like, whereas guys like.
Sure. I did it a million times.
I have to pretend here.
Yeah. So I made a version with stereotypically female problems.
Oh, do tell.
Yeah.
If you're putting on your mascara.
Female as opposed to girly.
I went girly.
Did you go girly?
I went as girly as I could because if the contexts are affecting things, I wanted to make the context as far apart as possible. Okay. So a stereotypically male to a stereotypically female. So it's babies and makeup and cooking and...
snapping bras. I hope snapping bras was one of them. Because that would be a great question.
That would be. That would make the guys really uncomfortable.
I know!
Okay. Matt, take a note.
Note taken.
Yeah. Because, I mean...
Snapping bras.
Make guys uncomfortable.
So what's a makeup question, if you can think of one?
I'm going to put you on the spot.
Yeah, we're jerks.
No. Yeah, not makeup.
Any
I can think of figure dancer ones.
Figure dancer. Okay,
sure. Babies. Babies. Yeah, the baby's pushing stuff off of her tray. And she pushes multiple things off of her tray, and how do they fall as they roll off her tray? And it's even a female baby. Every figure in my version is female. One of my students came up to me after taking my version of the test, and he's like, "What's up with all the chicks?" I'm like, "What?"
Welcome to our world, because it's always we, he, and everything.
Wait, did he actually say the word
said chicks? He said, "Look, this is a chick," paging through. "This is a chick. Even the baby's a chick."
Oh. They're poultry? Seriously.
Oh my gosh.
Well, yeah. That's more frightening than anything, I think.
But he would never have noticed that every figure in the regular one was a guy.
No.
No.
But so. I do all the time.
Because I judge them.
But that's what I do.
I just go,
Well, it's just like, oh, so of course females don't count. Fine. Moving on.
Fine.
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 Well, speaking of what does count, our
Let's rate this sucker.
Yeah.
Let's pour some more.
Pour some more, because unless...
Ooh, still more fizz. Hey, after all this chatting, there's still
fizz. I have quite a bit of fizz here. That is kind of exciting. Yeah, isn't it? I'm pouring it high, so I get super foam.
Oh, okay.
I don't have much fizz
left. Wait a second.
Don super used foam? Up all my fizz.
I did.
I'm a jerk.
Yeah, you are. We love you anyway,
okay,
darling.
I'm going to try for foam.
Okay.
Quiet foam try. Oh. Avoid the mic. Almonds.
So it wasn't
almonds
foam.
Are fine. Almonds
it wasn't
are fine.
Foam no, so no, much no. as spill.
That's okay.
Hey. Shame.
Shame. The physics question that goes with that one.
How many glasses of wine does your physics professor have?
Yes. So if you're serving at a party and you spill the wine.
I think it's more, how many glasses of wine does your physics professor need before you get an A? Because I think that's a question I'm interested in.
So that might be a good one. What is the answer? By the way,
have we gotten an A yet? Have we gotten an A?
Do we have
rate
an
us,
A?
Rate us,
please?
Judge us, rate us.
No, we're one glass of wine so far.
Tell us
it's more than one.
Okay. Well, now we've got some foods, of course, here to try with the rosé. We have the classic white bread, which I don't know why internet says that's what you're supposed to have.
Because it's totally
it's a neutral or something or other. And so, I mean, while people are like nomming the bread and then try some of the rosé.
It's like eating spongy paper.
And we have
only the best for you.
Awesome.
We have gluten-free millet bread, which actually, that sounds disgusting.
Totally.
But I like the millet. It's sweet and it has a little bit of crunch.
So how do you feel? Does it change the taste of the rosé at all now that we're eating something?
I like it better with the wine,
with the bread.
It makes it a little sharper.
Let's try the almonds.
Rosé-soaked almonds.
The rosé-soaked almonds, and see if that makes it any different. Does it?
Oh, with the almonds, it tastes like champagne. Oh. Seriously.
That's incredible.
Come on, peeps.
It does.
You can grab a slice of bread if you want some, too. This is
anybody
a
else with
show.
The almonds?
Me? Can I have one?
Oh, you.
Thank you.
No, you may not.
I was trying to be inclusive of the audience and stuff.
Whatever.
Love you.
So it tastes more like champagne with the almonds.
I think so.
Do you think so?
Yes.
Even our audience
I think
is
so.
Nodding?
Definitely.
Our one person who was brave enough to have an almond?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, you're right. It does taste
isn't
like
that.
That's now really weird.
Yeah. You know, we have magic cheese. Apparently, these are magic almonds.
I felt
a little guilty buying the almonds this week because of...
Everything?
Because everything's coming from California, and they have a horrible drought. Mm-hmm. And almonds are real moisture absorbers. But we have to have them.
Yeah, it actually totally changes it from a rosé to, like, a classic champagne.
Mm-hmm. It pulls out the fruit and just leaves the effervescence.
You can have some.
Yeah, please.
No.
Seriously? Okay.
We're not keeping up with the audience.
I know, Lana, we're doing something super wrong.
Well, so since when did we care?
That's true.
It's true.
So
that's why we love each other. We just don't care.
Yeah.
So should we rate this one?
Let's talk about our rating system.
Yes, we have a scale of 1 to 5.
1 being, I wouldn't drink that if they were handing it out free.
Excuse me, you okay?
At Renfest.
Yes.
And we were just at Renfest, and let me tell you, Bar is pretty low at Renfest.
Yeah, especially that Chardonnay we had at Renfest.
And we had the Chardonnay after the Reds. It was...
That's a long story. Catch our last episode of Off the Pot.
Oh, please do.
But yeah, that was the worst Chardonnay I've ever had in my life.
And I've had some really craptastic Chardonnay.
Oh, no, that one wins. Mm. So I think we should just change it to I wouldn't drink it if it was that Chardonnay at Renfest.
Okay, the next time we'll just self-reference and be all cool about it.
Yeah,
we'll
I spent 9 years at Renfest. That sounds like a good standard to me.
It is.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Number two is we would say it's vinegar salad dressing. We'd put this on our salad. Mm-hmm. It'd be fine.
Three is wedding appropriate wine. If they were serving it at a wedding, you'd drink it, but you wouldn't remember it later.
Right. Four is a bottle I wouldn't feel guilty drinking by myself. And I probably wouldn't share it. But
except with me.
Except for maybe.
Yes.
Oh, totally. Totally lying. And of course, five is...
I would tap that vintner's cask.
So, on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being having sex with a vintner. Kelly, how do you feel
about
this one?
I would call it a 4. I would happily drink this at home.
Really?
You drink it all by yourself. Keep it away from everybody else.
Now we know where your bar is set. Kelly is a cheap date, and we love him for it.
Well, if it was scotch, it might be a different story.
Yeah,
right.
What do you think?
Okay. I'm going to go for 3.
Yeah.
So they gave it away at a wedding. You'd be like, it's a good toasting wine.
Right.
Good enough.
Right. I agree with Laura. This is exactly a wedding wine.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. absolutely... Yeah. It's... Fine.
Yeah.
And if you went to a show here and you had some wine, you go, okay, I can drink that.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To be honest, in a little bottle,
yeah,
my bar is pretty low.
The audience is mocking me for the 4.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to share that with people.
Oh, no. Because we're coming up to my rating, which means Kelly is wrong. And I give it a 3 as well.
And the 3s have it.
Yeah, the 3s have it on this one. I mean, again, I rate it's 11.5% alcohol, so all right.
Oh.
But,
you know, have you noticed?
Dawn always goes
every
back
podcast,
to that.
Dawn knows the alcohol content of every freaking wine we drink.
Yep, I knew.
Because we know where her priorities lie.
These are my priorities, but otherwise, a 3, if they toast with this, I'd be like, I want some more to toast with.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. And I'd be fine.
Well, you know, and you've been at those weddings where you have whatever they toast with, and you drink it, and you go, are you freaking kidding me?
I think one of her audience members learned how to read or find the alcohol content in her booze.
That would have changed my college career.
You were drinking wine in college?
Whatever people put in front of me.
Well, yes. See, nobody put wine in front of me. How about you? Any of you?
No.
It was beer or whiskey, I think. Yeah,
I didn't drink till I was 28.
Oh, that's cute.
That's
cute.
What happened at 28? I'll be honest. What happened at 28?
You met Kelly?
Is it true?
No.
We've been together for 26 years. I'm not that old. Well, it was kind of 2 factors. We had a set of friends who were trying to get us to learn to drink.
The cool kids.
Kelly didn't drink either at this point?
Not significantly. I drank a little bit when I was much younger, 18, 17, 19.
You started late.
Okay, I'll give you that.
You started late for us.
Northern Minnesota. Yeah.
But as it turns out, if I drink more than a little bit, my ability to like hit the brakes and stop...
What?
When I was younger, it was bad.
Yes.
But now as an adult, it's totally fine.
Well, as it turns out, I'm one of those people who gets death hangovers. So I had like 2 of them in like a 2-year span, and I said, this is not worth it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And just didn't really drink anything except at publishing parties where the editors and publishers are very uncomfortable if you don't have a drink in your hand.
Right.
And it's usually Chardonnay.
Corona.
Or some kind of usual. Science fiction.
What?
What?
No.
Yeah.
I am so disillusioned.
Yeah, no, like
drink as beer someone who writes sci-fi, who's not published, but writes.
Tour parties, lots of beer.
Really?
Please tell me another publishing house gives you something better.
I would hope, but
do they at least have lime?
I'm going to message Wesley Chu.
Wesley.
Wesley.
Okay, so then you guys actually started drinking.
Wes comes to our room at conventions because that's where the whiskey is.
Yes. I sat next to him on a panel and he was so lovely. I was just like, you are so cool. Could I can't believe I'm sitting next to you.
Well, and he's so pretty too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I noticed. So did everyone else in the room, yep. Male and female.
Yep. Yeah, he's one of those. It's like even as if you're a guy and you're nowhere near homosexual, you'd still be like, you are hot.
And my husband teases me because I do find Asian men particularly attractive. I do. I grew up in northern Minnesota, so they were very exotic. I was trying very hard to not be, like, fawning over this man next to me. It's like, whatever he wanted to say, I was on board with that.
To be fair, he is also a model. He has also done significant modeling work.
Yeah, that's totally fine. Yeah, we were good with it. So anyways, your party is the place to be at conventions, your room.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now we know.
But yeah, come on by.
Woo! Okay. Had I but known.
We've all been invited, so it's official.
Yes.
All right. Should we move to the next one?
Oh, please.
Because we've rated this guy. Wait, well, audience, like, a general, like, if you yell out your answer, 1 to 5?
3.5.
I was
3.5.
3. Okay, awesome. So, yeah, everyone is meh. And again, Kelly is still wrong.
I'm going to fail.
Kelly's wrong. Okay, new glasses. We're not even... Oh, yes. You know what we did?
What?
It was an effervescent wine, so we didn't look to see about legs, but we have a dry glass, and we have a red coming up.
Yeah. Yay, this is
Coastal Ridge. 2013 California Cabernet Sauvignon.
So, what's the alcohol content of this one?
I'm sorry.
Oh,
that's the sound that refreshes.
Yeah, this show gets better and better.
I spilled wine all over my wine bottle.
I wonder who that was.
Who could have been a lovely strawberry blondish redheaded woman?
And not
this
one.
Yeah, it was totally gone.
Alrighty, so I've poured a little bit and.
Okay.
Wait. Oh, sorry. Oh my god.
There we go. Yes, everybody's pouring theirs.
So this is a very, very deep, dark.
Oh, it looks like a garnet. Like,
and me without my garnets today. Because I knew that it wouldn't matter. This is a black box. It's a pinkish red, though, when you see the...
I'm sorry,
around
you called
the edges.
It a black box? What do you mean by
that? Well, I mean...
Oh, you're talking about the theater.
The theater itself?
that's a wine! Yeah. And we're not drinking that!
No, we have yet to do box wine, but we will.
Oh, we've done one box wine on our
but,
show.
But, yes, so the theater we're in is black.
Yep.
It's... Ooh! Take a whiff of that sucker. I'm in a Fleming organ here. I'm a cat on the inside. What do you want from me?
That's your persona?
Oh! Yeah, see? Yeah, they're getting it in the audience here.
I mean, it's definitely a rich, deep, dark, like, lots of fruit.
But there's also a good tang in that.
Yeah.
But not a very strong smell.
No, there's no yeast to this. Usually, I love the wines that have that yeasty... Mm-hmm. Well, because I can't eat gluten, so I don't get those wonderful yeasty breads. Mm-hmm. So I get it in the wine.
Yep. So, and the legs on this guy?
Mm. Oh, yeah, we do. Yeah.
Even
and
on the last
wow. I'm okay. really
yeah,
impressed.
I really have to go. Super impressive.
Okay, yep. Now the bar is set a lot higher, and I fear that I'm going to be really disappointed.
I fear I'll have to...
In my heart of wine hearts.
No, but I'll finish yours if you don't like it. Later.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you can fight me for it.
Should we do another toast?
A toast?
Toast.
You know.
Minnesota.
You know.
They're both for sale.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, betcha. Let's toast to northern Minnesota.
Okay, here's
where all the drinkers come from, you know. Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, betcha.
I'm not from northern Minnesota.
Skål.
I'm from North Dakota, which is like northern Minnesota.
Yeah, I come from Duluth, you know.
Drink it up,
you guys. We're going tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, wait a second. No, I have to talk like a soprano. Because, you know, they're all sopranos. They're all sopranos up there, you know.
Okay, wait. I tried mine. Have you guys tried yours?
Yep.
Wait. Where'd the wine go?
I know.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I thought.
What's the alcohol content?
More.
What? Yes. Oh, for F's sake, I don't think so.
No, it's 12 and a half. 12 and a half.
I know this now.
That's the first thing. That's the first thing you look at now.
See, that's so cute.
Your podcast so cute. Educates.
Yes. Yeah. It educates us all the
time. I think I had wine in my mouth for a second there.
Yeah.
And then it went away.
There's nothing sharp. There's nothing tanniny. There's nothing dry.
It's,
It's one of those wines that...
That's really
well,
sad.
Well, it can't offend.
No.
That's true. It's like,
it can't offend.
Yes. It's just gone.
Yeah, there's
it's
nothing
not fruity. It has... Oh, wait. Okay, everybody.
Yeah.
Take food. Okay, because I think this is going to be...
More of a...
Oh, please,
eating?
Let this be the key.
Yeah, no kidding. So we're all, like, dipping in our oils and hopefully...
Wait, that sounded wrong. Okay.
Depends on what the oil is.
Yeah, it still sounds wrong.
And some almonds?
Yep.
I'm not sure about the bread.
Plain bread doesn't do it.
Oh my god.
Oh, the almond is good.
Really?
But how's
the
wine?
You better not be lying to me.
Oh, this tablecloth is delicious.
Oh, cotton.
Yeah, maybe you need multiple almonds to make this work?
No. It's inoffensive.
The rosé that's sucking the almonds is good.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Actually, seriously, the rosé really does make the almonds good.
Why do our wines suck?
Because they're in little bottles, sweetheart.
I'm sad.
Well, all right, we can blame someone else for the wine selections this evening, but not the Phoenix Theater.
So let's talk about other things.
Kelly!
Okay, so...
Oh, what? No.
You know what?
Yeah. What?
I'm gonna start.
You start.
And this is gonna be...
You start it.
What? This is not gonna be about what you...
I know.
...publish.
I know.
But we have noticed on the Facebooks...
Yes.
...that you have a new kind of... clothing?
A couture, we would
couture,
call it.
Couture, yes. Yeah, you have created?
Someone got it.
Of a feline sort?
Yes.
So what's... Could you talk about
yeah,
this?
Yeah, could you tell us about your specific
your
feline clothing?
Cat
my
vest?
Cat vest?
Yes!
What?
Cat vests.
So, when I'm home, working...
Working.
Yes, those quotes fly.
I will note that one of the nice things about being a full-time author is I'm home all the time, and I get to build my work environment the way I want it. So, I work...
Lucky you.
Oh, no.
Oh, don't drop the phone.
Gravity works.
Okay,
But so, my workspace... is a chaise lounge.
Oh. Awful. You freaking suck.
Yeah.
So,
he doesn't have to wear clothes to work.
Well, neither do I. That's illegal.
I think they'd be a little upset if I showed up at the U in the bare naked.
Yeah, but so my commute, I don't have to wear clothes for the work side of it, but when you're covered in cats and they all have their claws, clothes. You know, a ratty t-shirt and sweatpants. Mm-hmm. Clothes.
A loincloth.
No!
No! No! That results in bleeding.
Yeah, I'm still eating something.
Nothing personal.
No, it's fine.
No.
Not good for my digestion either.
No!
But so...
I'm trying.
You, so would I. I would totally do that.
Yeah. But so I work mostly prone. And it, before the show...
Wait. You said you were a what?
I am a very fancy author.
Oh, I had a different line of work in mind.
Yes, he was saying he was an artist before.
Well, it's probably worth noting that before I was making a living writing, I billed myself as a love slave because...
Oh, right.
Because, Laura was the person in the house who worked.
Yep.
And...
Yep.
Yep. Nice work if you can get it.
It is. It's fabulous work.
Yeah, I bet it is.
Oh, I want to.
Not too hard on the boss either.
Hey, Steve. I've got this idea.
How many different styles of cat vests do you wear on a given day?
Generally. Generally just the one, which is the beige on my left shoulder and the black and white on my right shoulder, which is reversed in all of the pictures because...
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
How many felines do you have?
We have four.
So tell us about your four.
So we have a beige cat. She's a Burman. She has blue eyes.
Okay.
And she's...
Does she have a squint?
You gonna live?
I just love that there's like, well, I have this style, and then I have this style.
Well, there's the primary cat vest.
There's the cat bandolier.
There's the cat bandolier.
Cat bandolier. Yep.
There's the cat kilt. There's the cat mustache.
Yep.
Okay. Keep going.
But so there's the beige Burman and the little black and white tuxedo cat, and that's
those are the big cats on your chest.
Yeah.
That's gotta get so warm. Does that get really warm?
You're
naked.
It's great in the winter, not so hot, yeah. Not so great.
Yes. Yeah.
Very hot.
Yeah.
In the summer.
At one point, we had five cats. So mm-hmm. Kyle Cassidy, mm-hmm. who's a science fiction fantasy photographer among other things, put together a book. Yeah. He's still trying to find the right place for it, but it's authors in their workspace. And he spent 3 hours sitting on my front porch taking pictures of me with, at that time we had five cats, so that he could get a and I don't move. The cats just come and go, so he could get a composite like me with five cats on me.
Yeah, that sounds like the most wonderful day it that really I can imagine. Really, if I could just hang out with my cats all day.
Yep,
that's my work environment. Is I sit. The cats come and they go, and I write.
No wonder your books aren't, like, super angry. don't get me wrong. They're insightful, they're fun, they're action-packed, but they're not angry. Because you got a cat on you. How can you be angry?
Yeah, when you've got two cats on your chest purring in each ear, yeah. You're typing. It's really hard to type, you know, dark and gritty.
And life is beautiful.
And it was another gorgeous day. Chapter 14. It was such a great day today.
Well, and to be fair, my chaise is in my studio, which is a second floor, windows on three sides. Uh-huh. Just basically a wall of windows around me. The birds are outside. The hot tub is like 4 feet away.
We're going to talk about the hot tub in a moment. Yeah.
But yeah, so... My work environment is really good.
The envy that's coming off of me in waves is like this powerful thing.
It's a thing.
Well, and it's even been a living the past few years, which is the surreal part of it.
Mm-hmm. I think which is absolutely fantastic. And you're celebrating an anniversary today, correct?
This is the 17th anniversary of my first short story sale.
Salute.
Yeah. With this invisible wine. Okay,
it's a brief salute.
And that was the Web Mage series, correct?
Well, it was a short story that later became the Web Mage series.
Oh.
I do some writing, but I'm not published. And I'm always fascinated by how things morph and go through things. So tell me how you go from a short story and you make it into a series.
I know. You add more words.
That's pretty much it in a nutshell. Okay, I'm done here.
I was going to ask for, you know, something like insightful, like
no,
a thought
there's
process.
Nothing more insightful than that. No. Sorry. Okay, go on. I only got one. I thought that was going to get me two. Okay.
In this particular
case, I'm saving
case.
It up because I know it's coming.
There's more.
Yeah, the double bird is always, you know, the highlight of a podcast.
Of my
for
day.
Us.
Yeah.
But yeah. In this particular case, my sort of history as a writer is pretty typical. I wrote three novels and didn't sell them, and that was, you know, a number of years. And mm-hmm. I got some really nice rejection letters. I got a lot of encouragement from editors. You know, it was so much less brutal than being an actor.
We've seen it on The Voice. Hey, next time you come around, you know, you've got some good ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we don't even get rejection letters.
No, we just don't get called back.
We just don't get anything.
Right. Yeah, there's sucks.
Yeah. There's that thing where you're in the theater and the director says, yeah, next. And you're like, okay, I'm screwed.
Mm-hmm. I apparently suck.
When I moved from that to writing and I would send stuff out and I would get letters that say, well, this story isn't quite right for us. It's like, not only is it in writing at a distance, they're just rejecting this story. They're not rejecting me personally.
Oh, my God.
What would that be like?
That's such a concept. But I appreciate that, the change in that.
The difference. Yeah.
That's part of why it was fairly easy for me to be persistent in the face of rejection writing, mm-hmm. is because it was so much more gentle than being rejected as an actor. But so I wrote three novels, didn't sell any of them, and that's really good. One of them is pretty bad. Two of them are probably adequate at this point.
Can they be salvaged?
Yeah, I will probably rewrite. Yep. Well, actually, the third one of them, I took the world and bits of it and made that into the Blade series.
Ooh.
So it went on to make me considerable money, so yay.
Yay! Spectacular! Yay.
But I wrote three novels, not very good, and I wasn't selling things, and I said to myself, so clearly I need to learn some things to do this better, so I'm going to try doing short stories. And I'd been reading at that point about writers' groups, so I like dragooned some writers I knew to get together and do a critique group. So I was writing short stories, and I wrote short stories for maybe 2 years, and Webmage was, I think, maybe the 15th or 20th short story I had written.
Oh, I'm listening to you. I'm listening to you.
Yeah, but I love the beaker lips.
I know.
Ooh.
Yeah, whatever. Okay. Cheers.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we're still listening.
No, it's fine.
It's about the wine.
You're totally fascinating right now.
Yeah. No, actually, you are because I'm bogged down. So I'm bogged down.
Oh,
okay.
Oh,
the mic.
Sad microphone.
The mic.
Okay. I tried to commit suicide. Did it have some of this red?
Oh, that's
sorry.
Gonna
suck to edit.
Okay, and. Start again?
We probably won't. Okay, go on.
So I said, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to try a critique group. I'm going to try writing short stories. I wrote a bunch of short stories. Mm-hmm. The Webmage short story is basically the first three chapters of the book.
Oh.
But the first version of it, I wrote the short story. I turned it into my writers group, and they said, the first half of this short story is fantastic. We love this. And everything that happens after this point, it was sort of became a chase scene to get out of it.
Oh.
Just is inappropriate to this story. This character needs to think their way out of it. And my thought is, oh great, now I have to think my way out of it.
You know what? It's like the last Star Trek movie.
Oh, it's like the last few Star Trek. Okay, keep going.
So I threw away half of the story and I wrote a witty way to get out of it. Hopefully witty. Anyway.
Semi-witty.
It sold, so I got to figure
out
it
worked.
You
got a witty way.
Yeah. Somebody thought it was witty.
So I was writing short stories. It got like 13 or 14 rejection letters. Mm-hmm. And then someone bought it. And I'm like,
who bought it?
Oh, my goodness. It was Weird Tales. Mm-hmm. So it was George Sithers and Daryl Schweitzer. And George Sithers I want to mention particularly because among my mentors as a writer are Kristen Catherine Rush and Kevin and Jay Anderson, who both had their first story bought by George Sithers as well.
Oh, nice.
So that's this wonderful...
So it's a family.
Yeah. So, you know, they did it like 20 years before I did, because George Sithers was, you know, ancient by the time he bought my thing. But...
I'm going to ask, how ancient do you consider ancient?
Late 70s.
Okay. I feel okay. All right.
I'm pushing 50 myself, so... But so he bought that story, and about that time I was like, as it had been going around, I had thought of some other things I could do with that particular character. Mm-hmm. And so I had written another short story, the start of another short story in that world. It sold. I bounced off the ceiling. I think I actually hurt my vocal cords.
You did.
Oh,
just cheering.
That's, yep, that's sweet.
That is sweet.
Yeah, I was so happy.
Yeah, of course. It's okay.
So sold the story, and I said, well, this other story that I thought of would be a good bridge into a longer piece. So the first short story was the first three chapters, and then the second short story is basically, if you've read the books, it's the entire cross-country ski sequence.
Of, I'm sorry,
Webmage.
Of
the novel.
Oh, okay, thank
so
you.
So basically from breaking into the bait servers to getting away from the bait servers. That was the other short story. And so then it was just a matter of putting some bridging material between those two, and that was about a third of a novel.
Neat.
And then figuring out what the overarching plot for something like that was. And so I wrote through till I had a book, and it was a decent book at that point, but not fantastic. And two things were sort of what I needed to make it work as a novel. And one of those things was I was on a panel. I was actually listening to a panel at the MiniCon, and this was back in the days of the big MiniCon.
Oh, MiniCon! Oh, that's a...
And that goes back.
Yeah. Jane Yolen was saying very, very smart things. She said something about the way trickster characters work. And when she said that, I was like, oh... That's the end of the book.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's the last half chapter right there. And it was, you know, she didn't, like, give me anything. It was just the idea of, you know, Raven and Anansi and the way that...
I love Raven.
How the character, you know, changes and stuff. Yep.
And so that gave me the ending. And then my friend Dave, sadly, isn't really writing much anymore, but was part of that first writer's group.
What Dave's full name is?
Dave Hoffman-Dashlett.
We'll just pretend we know that. Yeah. Okay.
No, I'm going to look it up.
Oh, okay.
He's only had a couple of short stories that he sold. He went off and had a life while I was being a love slave.
What is that? What is a life?
Bird and
cat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and had three kids and that, you know, and it necessitated an income.
What?
I don't know.
Oh, you mean like working
but,
in
but
IT.
Dave came to me and he said, one of the things that you're missing in this story is the way that Raven deals with Melchior, his familiar, his web goblin.
Which I loved. Okay.
Is,
we're going to talk more about that. We're going to talk about
that. is the same way that the Fates are dealing with Raven. And you need to bring that out. Mm-hmm. And that was the whole... I'm just going to go ahead and give away spoilers. It's been out for 10 years. That was the whole...
10 years is okay for spoilers.
Yeah.
A year is bad. Yeah.
But that was the whole web Goblin Underground came out of that. Because Dave said, you know, you've got to have Raven realize that he's doing this exact thing that's being done to him.
Yep.
And so that plus Jane's ending gave me a really pretty damn good book. It's gotten great reviews and it continues to be in press now.
Yeah.
It's on, I think, 7th printing, maybe?
Oh my gosh!
I'm
going
to
to use the literature degree that I have, which is why I'm a millionaire today.
Oh my god, yeah. What am I going to do with my music degree?
I know.
Okay,
oh.
So you've got the literature degree and you're working in theater, and I've got the theater degree and I'm working in
exactly,
literature.
Exactly,
okay.
Exactly.
I have the music
degree. So now I know where
the
exchange happens.
Do you know how many music majors work in IT?
That makes sense, though. That makes sense.
Because
it does. Yeah, because it's, I mean, we've got another music major out here in our audience.
I know.
It makes perfect sense. Okay.
In a sad way. Go on.
So,
please.
Okay, so there's a bunch of questions I would have about your books, which we don't have to hit them all
yes,
today.
Yes, no, maybe the elephant.
Yes, I'm right. Okay, anyways, let's
and
rate
Eris.
This wine. No, because the thing that I noticed about the Webmage series, and one thing, because I've read a smattering, I haven't read them all yet, but I will, but
excellent.
I've read a smattering
yes,
of all of your
I'm
books.
Towards
I've read all the Webmages, is that the character of Raven Rayburn, the thing that I thought that was the most interesting about that character is it could have been a male or a female, and it wouldn't have changed the outcome of the book. It wouldn't have mm-hmm. changed the actions of the character. It wouldn't have changed the way the character thought. And I thought, like, to me, that was the most fascinating part. And
that's
know
so 21st century.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know if it was deliberate or you just created this character because you're a Renaissance man or did I just come up with something
I'm thinking,
really cool?
I'm thinking Raven.
There's something really cool.
Which
I'm
is animalistic,
mm-hmm.
which doesn't necessarily have a gender.
Gender. Have a
yeah.
gender. Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't know that I can say, I don't know if I can take credit for that with Raven.
You should.
Okay.
So, okay.
Well, we're giving you the opportunity.
Yeah.
I don't know that I did it consciously, but one of the things
really
that,
like
I do, that I do yeah. do when I'm working...
I did do it. Because, yeah.
Yeah. Is, so one of the things that I have sort of trained myself to do because I want gender parity, and because, you know, I live with a gender education researcher, and
yeah.
if I when I blow it, I am informed in no uncertain terms.
Yeah.
And so one of the mechanical things...
She's your alpha reader, I'm sure.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Alpha reader, alpha wolf.
Alpha.
Just alpha, we can just stop there.
Yes.
There's a distinct
so
hierarchy
much.
In the house.
Because that's the way cats work.
Yeah. But one of the sort of the mechanical things that I did early on is anytime I have a character, I say, being a middle-aged white guy, my mm-hmm. sort of default is to write a male character.
Ooh, yeah.
And so I'll start to write the character, and I trained myself anytime I was doing that is there any reason in the world that this character has to be male, that they have to be white, that they have to be straight? And
mm-hmm.
always
mm-hmm.
to ask myself those questions with mm-hmm. every single character. I mean, with the Greek myths, for example, Tisiphone the Fury, she's female. That's
she's
what I'm wondering.
Because the Furies
yeah,
are
she's female.
But
any character that I'm creating myself, is there any reason that they have to be male?
Right.
And occasionally that's true.
Yeah.
But more often than not, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And so I try to, in some ways, I try to write characters as gender neutral as possible,
mm-hmm.
in part
mm-hmm.
out of that.
But in your Broken Blade series, though, that main character is definitely masculine. But, I mean, not like in a negative way. I mean, he's just... He's a dude. and you know, that's he just is. So, I mean, I definitely see that character as male.
Here's a thought.
What?
And I think it actually makes sense of that, and I do get to take some credit. Well, no, my
Good.
Mother gets to take credit.
Good.
But
moms deserve credit.
Girls get credit. This is what happens when there's one guy on the panel.
So Errol, the hero of the Broken Blade, is very much a constructed
oh,
person.
God, I've been pronouncing his name wrong.
Don't worry about it.
I don't.
How did you pronounce it before?
Errol, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. I think it sounds prettier.
Errol, well, Errol is like Errol Flynn.
He's very pretty.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, Errol,
anyway,
Errol.
But he's
I
a
like
constructed character
mm-hmm.
Errol,
in a very deliberate way. When I was talking to my editor about the next book, we were saying, so how do we want to go about this? But so Errol was a very different... Raven is very much...
Raven is
very much autobiographical.
Yes.
Okay.
I was a teenage adrenaline
Definitely.
Junkie. I used to do mountain climbing.
Oh.
And I was raised by, not wolves, feminists. I was raised by feminists, my mother and my grandmother and my aunt, with no men in the house, basically, until I was about 12.
Okay.
And so my...
I think all guys should be raised
yes,
like that.
Yes, I
personally.
Think so, too.
I would vote for that, but so...
America would be a better country.
I very much developed a more feminine communication style,
yes.
style than most men.
Wow.
I code shift pretty well, because I, you know, I, like, speak
mm-hmm.
fluent contractor if I have to.
Mm-hmm.
But my natural communication style is very feminine.
Mm.
So since Raven is an autobiographical character, so, to some extent, it would make... more sense for a more feminine
mm-hmm.
communication style and a more feminine personality for that character.
That's really interesting.
Okay, it's because I have a real affinity to ravens. I don't know why. There's a lot of ravens in my house. Mm-hmm. I always think of ravens as being female. So I'm just going to throw that out there. Sorry. Go ahead. Edit that out.
Oh, no, I don't care. No, okay. Now, I do have another question for you, which I'm sure you've been asked before. What is up with all the familiars?
Okay, so the familiars, that means, you know, you've got the witchcraft background. Let's go into this because some of us are really kind of into that, and that's our
way of going. At least your Broken Blade series and your Webmage series. It's like, oh, look, it's another familiar.
Okay, so
and School for Sidekicks. Sidekicks.
Yeah.
Well, that's another kind of familiar.
I just had a discussion with an editor who will remain nameless for probably a couple more weeks.
Okay.
Today about
for the couple of more weeks.
Yeah, the thing that I'm almost certainly writing next. One of the things that we talked about, most editors are she, so that's a really easy, safe one, really likes about the way I write stuff, and this is how I ended up working with her in the first place, is she loves my sidekicks. So part of the reason that there are a lot of sidekicks in my work is purely mercenary. I make money with sidekicks.
Really? Totally. What is Batman without Robin?
Well, exactly. I love the familiar concept. We all wish we had one. Let's just be honest.
Wait. How many of us have cats, and how many of us feel like, are they familiars, or are we the familiars? I'm secondary to the cats in my household.
We all want a magical friend who loves us unconditionally.
Yes!
Especially if they're funny.
Especially, yes, and that means cats.
So, they're all funny, and they're all telling us what to do. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So, I mean, it's logical that way.
It's wonderful to develop the character based on their foil, and that makes a lot of sense.
So that's sort of mechanically what it does. Mm-hmm. It allows me to do a bunch of things that are fundamentally info dumps in a way that's funny, and that brings the reader along. So that's one of the sort of the mechanical things. And, of course, like I said, it makes me money. I'm all over things that make me money as an artist.
You were a sex slave, so obviously all over that.
You know, if I didn't have to have a day job, I'd be so over that.
All over that.
It's a good job. But so that's one chunk of it.
Oh, I'm sorry. All my workmates, I love you all, but really, I'd rather be acting and writing.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Laura did the best hair flip on that, and that was just perfect. It was absolutely perfect. Okay.
But so that's part of it. Yeah. The other chunk of it is when I built the Webmage story, which was after writing a couple of novels. But when I built the Webmage story, part of the things that I wanted to do was show the underpinnings of the world. Mm-hmm. And the best way to do that was to have someone who was a hacker, someone who was looking at magic in a hacking way so they could talk about it. Mm-hmm. And if you've got a magical hacker, he's got to have a laptop. And if you've got the laptop and you're a sorcerer, why not have a familiar?
I mean, everybody thinks that way.
And for people, and I can't imagine anyone here has not read the Webmage series, but if you haven't, the main character's familiar is his laptop. And
it's a shapeshifter laptop.
Yes, it can change into something that's a little bit more physical. But I know, it was really entrancing.
But yes.
I really enjoyed that about the series.
You.
No, thank you.
Thank you!
But so that's where it came from in Webmage.
Hey! Don't do that.
Don't do what?
We haven't rated that.
I don't need to rate this wine, but we should probably rate this wine.
I left it like an inch and a half.
Yeah, you're gonna have to share.
No,
share with me.
No, okay, I'll share with you. Okay, but we'll finish that thought, and then we'll get to rating.
Yeah. So the Blade books were built on top of, like I said, my third novel. And the whole idea of magic in that world was about familiars. Familiars are a concept that I've always been. I found fascinating, probably since fixating on Bell Book and Candle as a kid.
And since your first Cat Fest?
No, well before that.
Okay.
But the movie Bell Book and Candle was one of those.
Well, I'm a big fan of Kim Harrison as well.
Mm-hmm.
And her take on familiars is really diverges from what I grew up with. And so it's, I don't know, the whole familiar thing is such a broad spectrum.
And Merlin and the Owl.
Yeah.
And
just,
mm-hmm. One of the things I was thinking about when I was thinking about the Blade books was how familiars can impact magic in a bigger way. If you've got familiars sort of in the classic Bell Book and Candle, they're doing some magic stuff, but I'm thinking, what kind of familiar you have should really have a huge impact on what kind of magic you do. Mm-hmm. And I had played that out in the book that eventually then got to be Broken Blade. So the whole magic system was built on the idea of magic and familiars with two components to magic, one being the power of magic and one being sort of the familiar empathy gift, which gives you a lens to focus the magic. Mm-hmm.
I loved it.
And so that's where it came from there. And also part of that was when I was having my discussion with Anne Swords at Ace about the next series after Webmage. She was like, and I love the way you write sidekicks. I'm like, well, conveniently.
Yeah. Here's school for sidekicks.
You write the checks. You have a suggestion. I am all over that.
Yep. That is a writer that can be commercial.
Oh, yeah. No, that it makes perfect
Very
sense.
Much so.
No, I enjoy them. I thank you for your books. I mean, that's how we got to meet you, was through the Webmage mm-hmm. series, which inspired Bob Alberti to write Principia Discordia.
Which was from Fringe 2 years ago.
Fringe 2 years mm-hmm. where Alana and I got to play some of Kelly's characters. And it was funny because as soon as we found out, oh, Kelly, the author, is coming, he was like, oh my god, these characters were based on a book and you didn't give me these books 5 months ago.
I know. I've already made all my decisions.
Yeah, I'm like, you should have given me these books. I hate you. You're screwed.
So I was like, I hope he doesn't freaking hate what I've done.
It was awful. It was awful. It's like, I'm going to kill you.
Okay, and let me insert here that I loved it. Yes. I absolutely loved it.
We loved it.
Your Thalia was not quite the way I had envisioned Thalia, but I really liked your Thalia for two reasons. One, because I thought it was just really well done. And the other is because you evoked the drama teacher that turned me from like an 11-year-old nerd into a completely unsuccessful actor.
He means it as a compliment.
That is. Yeah, but if I delivered
it in that manner. But when I read the script and we started working, I went, okay, so I'm sort of vibing. I'm not going to even say the actress who is no longer living, but I'm like, I'm starting here and I'm going to keep going. Bob, I'm looking at you to reel me in.
And he never did.
If he had felt like, you know, giving you any bones from the book to be useful, he might have said Lucille Ball.
That was a 50s take. I took more of a 70s take. Can you think of the actress?
Well, Madeline Kahn was second.
Yes!
Yep.
I started with Madeline.
That may be why he chose not to rein you in, because both Lucille Ball and Madeline Kahn, I don't know if I put them explicitly into the text, but they were both in there when I was...
Madeline Kahn so truly cool. is my idol.
Yeah.
And, okay, let's rate this.
And I have to note that Dawn's Eris was so spot on for my Eris that I now, when I think about the character, I see Dawn. When I was originally visualizing her, I was visualizing Angelina Jolie, not in terms of character, but more. And so you have displaced Angelina Jolie in my head.
I'm like, oh my god, take that, Angelina.
and the interesting thing was, I had a certain thought in my head for this character, but once I started working with Dawn, it's like, I need to be the opposite of Dawn. And so that just sort of like spun me in another direction. It's like, okay, I'm not in control anymore.
Yeah, that was. It was
but no,
a
Madeline Kahn was a perfect taking off point.
Yeah. Oh my god, that's awesome.
So should we talk about this?
Let's rate
wine.
This
wine. Coastal just, Ridge Cabernet.
It's empty,
Laura,
and I'm not sure. How did it get to be empty?
So, you know, scale of 1 to 5. One is you wouldn't drink it if it was the Cabernet at Renfest, and not the Cabernet, the Chardonnay at Renfest. Excuse
yes.
me.
Mm-hmm.
And 5 is you tap that
vintner's cask.
Kelly, how do you feel about this one?
I would say somewhere between a 2 and a very, very low edge of 3. I would drink this at a wedding.
So like
I wouldn't
a 2.8.
I wouldn't be. Yeah. Well, no, like a 2.6.
2.6. Okay.
Okay. I would cheerfully drink it. I will cheerfully drink most anything.
Yes.
My standards are not.
Yeah.
That's the kind of guest we like.
How do you feel about this wine?
I'm debating because I wouldn't spend any money on it.
Exactly.
But I'm gonna keep drinking it because it's just. It just goes down.
So what, is that a 2 you put on your salad?
I know.
Yeah. I don't think it would go very well on a salad at all.
It wouldn't help the salad.
No, but it might be able to taste it then.
Yeah. I guess it's a 2 just because there's just not much there.
No. Dawn, what do you think?
You know, again, if it was free, you know, which we shouldn't actually have as a way to qualify the wines we drink.
Come on, we're women.
Yeah.
And men bought...
What?
We were at Renfest.
Yeah,
how many
bought us wine? We both were like, what?
Yeah, we're not 18 anymore.
Anyways, so I will...
You aren't?
Yeah, I'll give this.
Oh, I love you.
I'll give it a 2. I wouldn't go out of my way for this. And mm-hmm. if this was at a wedding, I'd be like, oh, you didn't upgrade the wine at this wedding, huh? Okay.
Yeah. So. Okay.
It's true.
You know what?
What?
I'm going to buck the trend on peu. I'm going to give this a 3.25.
Get out. Get out.
Because usually no. at a wedding, they serve you lighter wines. Mm-hmm. And it's like, eh. And I don't like lighter wines. I like dark red wines. And usually, if they serve you a red wine, it's got so much tannin in it, my mouth is puckering all mm-hmm. night.
You know,
and just as Laura said, it just went just like a treat. Mm-hmm. I didn't really taste it.
Yeah.
I certainly didn't object to that. Yeah. So 3.25. I would, out of all the wine, now we've had 5 wines. We've had 5 wines at this particular theater.
Yeah.
And I think this is... Now, I really, really liked...
The Prosecco.
The Prosecco.
The Prosecco was delicious.
So but out of all the pink to reds, I think this was the best one. Because remember the
That's
Salmon
not
Creek?
Saying anything! The Salmon Creek was crap!
Thumb screws are better than the Iron Maiden?
Everything, exactly! But!
But
we're rating wines at a theater in small bottles, which is different than having really, you know...
Fair point.
Spending $12 for a bottle at, you know, to have at home. It's a different mindset. So out of all the wines at the Phoenix Theater, the Prosecco is best.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But it's a white, and it's frizzante. Out of all the reds, I think this is the best one we've had.
Again, I think you're crazy. But you're entitled to your opinion.
So as wrong as it is. So
Dawn,
now's the moment.
I get it. It's on the finger.
What? Okay. There's no camera out for that?
What? Oh, yay. Here it
Wait,
comes.
Hold it. Oh, shit. That wasn't your camera at all.
Oh, it's the audience that's swearing.
Yeah, I've been really good about not swearing on this podcast.
I have sworn
and
once.
The audience swears. Effing hell. Okay, we're done now. We're done.
Okay, so I finished my red now.
I do have to make one step back. I will note that with Laura and my comparison here, Laura clearly has higher standards than I do.
We did mention that, but you clarified some of that in your conversation.
Okay. So the fact that you are very female centric, and that you really kind of let the females lead, I think that's a great thing.
Did we mention that all 4 of our cats are female?
He's the only guy in the house. How does our audience feel about the coastal crap? Crapernay Sauvignon.
Don't let her.
Two. It's gone.
Yeah.
Okay,
2.5.
It went faster than the rosé, didn't it?
But I wanted to drink the rosé.
Yeah.
Oh.
The rosé is like, I'm more cognizant of it.
Yeah. So between the two, do we have the Grand Rosé or is the Cabernet a favorite between the two? How do we feel about this?
Oh my God.
Rosé.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, you know, I prefer the red just because I prefer reds, period. Yeah, unless it's a Prosecco.
As Dawn said, that's, you know, you're entirely entitled to that opinion.
And it would be incorrect opinion.
I know.
Our audience, did you prefer the rosé? Everyone's saying rosé.
No.
Yay, everyone said rosé. Ha ha.
The cork alone.
Yes, that wasn't a cork. That was a faux cork. It was a fork.
It's a fork.
So
I love this.
On our second show at the Phoenix Theater, we drank Mionnetto Grand Rosé.
That's a good idea.
Coastal Ridge Cabernet something or other. And so we drank that. We had 2 fantastic guests.
Oh my God, I love them both.
Laura,
I
want to
take them. Yay, superintendent! She's smarter than all of us put together. We had Kelly McCullough. Yay!
I'm balder than all of you put together.
Yay, you're
God, I hope so.
And read their books, because Laura is also a published author as well, something about rubber ducks and in leadership, which is also really cool. And yeah, go get their stuff. Feel free to hang out and take pictures, because this guy has agreed to sign things, which is why I have my Broken Blade book right here, so you can sign all over it.
And eat the rosé-soaked almonds.
Yes, eat so those. Lovely. Lana, we have to catch up on our next theme, which we haven't done yet, which was the wines that we have, neither of us have tried before.
Yes, so, or, because it's autumn, yeah, we could go with ciders.
We can go with ciders, too.
It's your choice. I'm giving you the two choices.
Well, I appreciate the choices.
And
those are nice choices.
And you don't freaking care.
I don't care.
Freaking
so
care
your
about
next episode of Screw It, you'll have no idea what we're doing, because neither do we. And
is that
we like to talk behind the scenes and surprise our listeners, all four of you.
So thank you for listening to Screw It, a podcast about wine. Wine improves with age. We improve with wine. Please find us on Facebook. We're there. Theme song.
Chad, where is our freaking theme song, Chad?
Yeah, Chad, theme song. Theme song. This is our closing theme song.
John, with the shirts, I'm driving here in my car, and it's like, are there fireflies in my car?
This is sun glinting off my chest.
Yes, but have you noticed they have googly eyes?
They do.
Yes, they have googly eyes. No.
Googly. Googly.
Yes, it's okay.
They're now doomed to stare at their chest.
Yes.
It's like, okay. No, this is just us trying to get you to look at our chest.
Every single chest is sparkly. So.